All right, well, we can get started. Good morning, everyone. My name is John Stallo. I'm the lead program manager on the Visual Studio Lightswitch team. Now, I usually don't have this croaky voice. Unfortunately, it's the one that I woke up with this morning, so I'll have to kind of just make do. I was thinking, given my croaky voice and the fact that it's very early in the morning out of a very busy week for, I'm sure, for many of you. I decided we're going to go pretty light on slides, so you're just going to hear me just droll on and just talking about the merits of the product and so forth. Instead, we're going to make this kind of very demo-heavy, really just kind of introducing you to the Lightswitch tool, talking about business app scenarios and kind of just seeing it in action and kind of just building out a business app from scratch and kind of just covering through several scenarios. So does that sound good? I'm getting a few head nods. Everyone can hear me okay? Cool. All right. So our vision for Lightswitch is really for it to be the easiest way to build modern business apps for the enterprise. Just as a show of hands, anyone who has not been able to play around, build apps using Lightswitch? Okay, quite a few hands coming up. So maybe what we'll do is I'll kind of just level set very quickly, very quick introduction to Lightswitch, maybe just a quick lap around, and then from there we'll, given that everyone would have been kind of level set, then we'll kind of move on. So just a little bit of history. Just a little over a year ago, we shipped Lightswitch V1. It was you could get it and you could install it on top of Visual Studio 2010. Very soon after, we shipped an update inside Visual Studio 2012. So if you have Visual Studio 2012 Professional and above, you already have Lightswitch in the box. What I'll be showing is a lot of the features that are in the box, as well as another update, which we're soon releasing. We have already a preview out there for the folks who have already had a chance to play around with an HTML client for actually building business apps for mobile devices. A question that I get very often is Visual Studio for me? Looks like it's got some cool designers and stuff, but I'm a developer. I like to code. Is it for me? It's in Visual Studio. What's up with that? So I guess that's a very common question I get. Maybe a way to answer that is just think about some of the business apps that you've been asked to build in the past. Many folks call them one-form wonders or forms over data. They're pulling some data, doing some CRUD over it, maybe some business logic. Usually very small apps. They may live a few iterations. They may not live a very long time at all. They might just live for the lifetime of a particular project that they're helping track, maybe some assets or something with. Just think about maybe a developer colleague of yours who could just do with a little bit more guidance. A little less like kind of open space inside Visual Studio, and a little less decisions of how to get started, what's the right business, the right architecture, what's the right technology stacks to kind of use, what are some of the tried best practices to use in these kinds of simple apps, but ones that are actually built over and over again. Lightswitch could actually be a very good tool set for that set of folks. Maybe another scenario that you can think about is I'm sure that many of you have kind of been called into an office in some morning and saying, "Well, you see, we've got this app. Start off pretty simple. We just had a couple of users using it and so forth. Very specific kind of set of tasks that enabled. But we'd like to roll it out to the rest of the org now. Or we want to make it grow up. There's a few customizations that we want to do." And kind of a, here you go, you inherit it. And you take a look at it, and it's just a ball of wax. I mean, it's just, it started off simple. What it did was it did it well, but you can't really evolve it much. One of the premises for Lightswitch was not only productivity and a lot of plumbing code done for you and a lot of the app is actually built for you, but this notion that the app can grow as the requirements grow over time of the app. So you as as a professional developer, you're inside Visual Studio, you're comfortable with the tool, you have this app right from the start. Although it might be a simple app, right from the start it was built with some best practices in mind. You actually can evolve it, you can customize it, you can take over bits and pieces of it to actually evolve it over time, and you don't have to start from scratch. That's a very common scenario that we've heard from folks. And that was another motivation or an underlying tenet of designing Lightswitch the way we did. So what I'm going to do is, given that there are several folks who may not have had a chance to play around with Lightswitch much, I'm just going to jump right into Visual Studio, and then we're just going to start from scratch, just building out a very simple app, and then we'll kind of customize it going forward. So I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio here. I'm inside Visual Studio 2012. I'm going to create a new project here. And choosing the Lightswitch node, when we first shipped, basically you just have basically the choice of language. You know, is it Visual Basic or C Sharp? What I have here is I've installed the preview of being able to support HTML clients. And so with this very first project template, you'll build Silverlight-based applications, very much geared towards more of like desktop, keyboard, mouse kind of interaction, a lot of data entry kind of experiences, maybe integrating with, say, Office or other desktop devices. That would be the way that you would go. For the preview that we have at this point in time for the HTML application, we really see it as being a companion app, really focused on kind of mobile browser apps, working on whatever devices people are bringing into work. The expectation is I should be able to use my business app on my device. That's another very common trend that's happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to show you kind of the latest preview bits with the HTML client. Create a new project. Okay, so business apps are very data-centric. The best possible place to start with a Lightswitch app is starting with the data. And you got two choices, and you can go back to them, you can add as much as you want, but it's either you can start defining your own tables, own data structures, or you can just go and attach to some existing data sources. And so I'm going to cover both of them throughout the talk, but let's just start off with attaching to some external data. Out of the box, we support a few data sources here. So obviously, databases is where a lot of enterprise data lives. So obviously, SQL there. But basically, any EF provider backed database. So there's a few out there for MySQL, Oracle, and so forth. You'll be able to, once you install that provider, you'll be able to connect up to those databases. We have the ability to just be able to connect up to your SharePoint site, pull down some list data. That's another trend where a lot of enterprise data is actually starting to live in. New for Visual Studio 2012 was this notion of just being able to connect up to O data feeds. And for anything that we don't support in the box, your ability to roll out your own WCF RIA service, so that's a code experience, but basically you can connect up to anything else that you would like. Legacy systems and all that, write some code, you can bring that in, bring it into Visual Studio, Lightswitch, and then party on that. So for this demo, we're going to go into showing consuming a node data feed. And I have one just there. What this has done is just pull down some information about that feed. We've got categories, customers, products. We'll just choose them here. And you can see that it's gone ahead, read in the schema, and it's just brought that in. And now that's in my app, and I can use that now. The thing with Lightswitch is the more you describe your data, the better defaults that we can drive throughout the app. So for example, this is something that I've attached to, so it's an existing schema out there, so I can't modify it per se. But I can add more information about the data. So for example, for categories, we have category image. Well, that's stored as a binary in the database, in the backend feed. I can choose to say, well, I know that's an image. So I want LightSwitch to treat that as if that's going to just be image data that's coming in. And that's going to drive some defaults for me later on. I've already picked out that there's a relationship between categories and products. So switch over to that. You can see that I can see information over here. Maybe unit price, stored as a decimal, but I want to treat it as money. So there's this notion of business types in LightSwitch, where you have like your basic types like string, decimals, integers, and so forth. But then you have things like money or percent, or let's say on the drop down here, email address for string types, phone number, and so forth. Just higher level business types that are very, very common in business apps. That can kind of encapsulate a little bit more, maybe formatting rules, maybe a little business logic, validation logic, and so forth. All right, so I pulled in some data, tweaked it a little bit. Next kind of thing to do is I just want to put that on some UI. So inside LightSwitch, there's this notion of screens. And one thing that we saw over and over again is these interaction patterns just repeated over and over again, like browsing some data, viewing some details of that data, going out and actually having the ability to go and edit that data and so forth. So really, just instead of just starting from blank every single time that you're adding some UI, just being able to choose a template here. In this case, I just want to browse some data, choose the data that I want to see, maybe give it a screen name. This is my first screen, so I'll call it home. And just be done with it. Now, obviously, I can go ahead and start customizing my UI. But let's just see what we've got right from scratch. So I'm going to hit F5. What you see is an app. Again, remember, I chose to choose an HTML client app. So it's running in the browser. Just a list of products that are out there. Nothing too fancy here. You can already see that there's some best practices that are already built in. I already have a client-server architecture already set up. Items are paged by default. You probably didn't see that, but if this was on a device, you would actually get that inertia scrolling. As you go down to the bottom of the list, it kind of pages in the next lot and so forth. So just already right from the start, I don't have to decide any of that. There's already some best practices already built in. All right, so data, screens. At the moment, this is a kind of an unordered list. I wouldn't be able to find products very easily here, given that they're all not in alphabetical order here. So I'm just going to create a very simple query. Now, queries are another main concept in business apps. Obviously, you want to go and query from some data. I want to filter. I want to sort them and so forth. So I'm going to go over here. Underneath products, I'm going to choose to add a query. I'm going to call this, sorted products. It's a very simple query here. I'm going to sort by product name. While we're at it, just being able to not include any discontinued products. You see in this drop-down over here, there's very simple predicates that I can add, like filters, sorts, even parameterized queries that I can add. It's picked up a relationship here between products and categories, so I can actually also add some predicates on those related tables there as well. So I've got that query in place. Now, when I built my screen, I could have just based it on top of that on that query. Given that I built my screen before, I'm just going to easy to go back in. I'm going to choose products on the left-hand side. And as my query source, I'm going to now choose that new query that I added. And you can see here there's a bunch of other properties that I can set. So for example, if I want my page size to be 20 instead of the default, hit F5 again. And now you can see that I've got an ordered products list. You can probably pick out very quickly stuff is being paged in. One of the other things maybe to know, as very particular to this HTML client, all the kinds of, you know, if you want to use the browser debuggers, if you want to use the integrated debuggers for HTML and JavaScript inside Visual Studio, can definitely do that. Clicking over here, I've got the DOM Explorer. And if I go ahead and maybe select some of these items, you can kind of see that this is what I would expect to see just from semantically correct HTML. It's been generated by the tool, but it's semantically correct. You can actually, you know, follow it. I've got, you know, list items here. It's inside an unordered list, and so forth. So that's very important in the fact that there's a lot of things that are just built, you know, UI that's built from scratch for you. But you can go in there and you can actually start tweaking the DOM. You can add your own CSS classes, for example. Do some very cool manipulation that way. And we'll see as the demo progresses on actually how to do that. All right, so just a very, very quick lap around Visual, Light Switch, where you've got data that you can point to, you can describe that data, you can just choose some screen templates to very quickly get some UI up and running, you can define some queries. Basically, those are the main three concepts that you have just out of the gate. All right, so just looking at this app, not very pretty. It's kind of functional, right? It's grabbing some data. Might be a little bit more suited to maybe more narrower kind of devices, or maybe if I had this in landscape mode, the fact that I've got these bars across, if I was in portrait mode, but now if I'm in landscape mode, I've got these bars across. It's not very pretty at all. I'm not making very good use of screen real estate. So what I'm going to do is just start refining this application a little bit more, maybe customizing the UI a little bit from the start. So let's go back into our home screen over here. And what you see here is I'm not actually manipulating UI controls. It really is kind of like just a conceptual description of content items or the particular elements that make up my screen. So here I've got a list, and this is the UI that's describing each of my list items over here. So I can just choose if I want that default list. I can put in my own custom control. We'll see how do you do that going forward. But there's another built-in control called tile lists. Maybe that's going to give me something a little bit better here. For each of the items over here, we can choose which items we want to see in each of the lists. Maybe for our actual tile size, we can play around with this, but I'm just going to go with 150 by 100. Maybe the product name, I want to see that as, the font style may be strong. Maybe add some a little bit more screen data here. I'm going to pick up something that's in that related categories table. Maybe reorder that up here. Give it 40 by 40, maybe as a larger icon. Let's just hit F5, see what we've got. All right, not too bad. I could continue trying to refine and tweak this, but you can kind of see that it already has a little bit more built-in behavior. If for example, I'm moving between portrait and landscape mode, I'm already making better use of my screen real estate. You kind of see that it's already still all that paging and so forth still continues to be built in. So maybe what I want to do is I've just got a summary of each of the products here, and then what I want to do is as I select each of the products, maybe I have a pop-up dialog that just shows a little bit more information about that product. So just being able to very quickly just create a new dialog here. I'm going to call this, let's say, product info. And for the dialog type, I'm just going to have a close button on that. It's just going to be a pop-up. And we're going to use read-only controls, because I don't want to have any editing at this point. It's really a read-only feed that I'm bringing in at this point. And I'm going to choose maybe columns layout. For my first column, I'm going to have that selected product that I go ahead and tap. And I can do whatever I want over here in terms of customizing that. But then maybe as a second column, I'm going to bring in just again maybe that category image, like so. And then just a little bit more tweaking. You kind of see that there's a lot of things that you can do. You want to show labels, what size do you want, you know, what's the behavior that you want for images, for kind of row layout, column layout, and so forth. So for example, on rows layout over here, I think we want to do fit the content. These are preview bits, so you can kind of see we're still kind of twiddling around with, you know, what the defaults ought to be. And I've hit run, prematurely though, because I'm not calling the dialog anywhere. So that's not doing me any good. So let me just close this. So I've got my list. I've got a pop-up dialog that I've defined. And I just want to configure it so that every time I tap on the list, it's going to pop up that dialog. So I'm going to choose that list control over here. And then over here, you can see there's an actions list. You can kind of see over time, maybe, you know, there would be a lot more, you know, a few more kind of gestures, maybe swipe and so forth. For now, we've got item tap. If I go in here, I can either kick off some code that I've already, you know, written, or there's some existing built-in methods. So there's navigation methods for being able to just navigate around my app. There's things that I also can do with actual data. So I can add data, I can delete it, and so forth, based on whatever I want my app to experience to be. So in this case, I just want to show a dialog. I only have one dialog, so it's already pre-selected it for me. Hit OK. Hit Run. And you can kind of see I've got that kind of a very, you know, light box kind of view where I can just tap on something on my device. You know, I could, you know, tap away and so forth. So it's a very basic kind of interaction model there. And just kind of then now thinking about what are some business app scenarios that are very common in these kinds of apps. Think about maybe a scenario where you know, you work for a company that you know, distributes a, you know, a bunch of products. Here, they seem to be like, you know, food products. You sell them to various you know, stores. As a salesperson or salespeople of this company, they go out and actually deliver these items to the stores. When they're actually there, they can actually get quite a bit of information, right, about how their product is doing. You know, what's the experience of clients who actually walk into the store and actually see, you know, the products that we sell? In terms of, you know, where is the item actually placed in the store, in terms of, you know, shelf or aisle, or, you know, how clean is the display and so forth. So we kind of want to make use of the fact that we've got these salespeople going out and they're kind of in very close contact with where our products are actually, you know, being sold. So I guess I've already started to build some of the app where we already have some products in a catalog. We've got them here. I can see information there. And then maybe we want to enable the person who's right there using their touch device, being able to fill out a very, very quick survey, just being able to store that into a database for maybe some, you know, later analysis, right, of how that product is doing and why, perhaps. So what we want to do, perhaps, is the experience is I tap on the product, and then over here, maybe I would have, like, the ability to just go and launch, go create a quick survey, answer a few questions, hit submit, and it's in the database. So to do that, we don't have any place to store surveys. So we're going to go ahead and add a table here. Call this survey. And you can kind of see on Solution Explorer here, this notion that you can build and you can attach to as many existing data sources as you want. Bring them in. You can do some data mashup. You can also define new tables here. So this is going to be, as part of application data, this is going to be a table that's going to go out and It's going to need to be deployed with my application. And we'll see how that experience ensues later on. But just very quickly over here, just using my keyboard and just kind of hammering out some fields here. So maybe we're going to have one of the things we want to keep a track on is, what's the shelf placement like? I can say that's a string, and that's a required field. But I want to be able to just constrain the values of the of what I can enter here. And that's a very common thing with, especially with touch devices. They're very good for viewing and navigating data, but you want to kind of go light on the data entry. You don't want to be like tapping out a whole bunch of information here. So typically, rather than have a whole bunch of free for all, you can enter whatever you want and maybe have some validation later on, kind of constrain the experience, right? And so here I want to constrain it to just a certain set of values. Maybe I can choose top shelf. This product is either eye level, which is pretty good. And then, bottom shelf, which is harder to find, not very good. Aisle placement, again, let's constrain this to maybe middle of the aisle. That's usually the place where you just can't find anything in the grocery store. End of aisle. And then something that's in the industry is called aisle end caps. And these are the places where right at the end of the aisle, you kind of got a dedicated display, and that's pretty good. That's very prominent for products to be displayed in that way. So, okay. Maybe some other things we want to kind of track. What's the cleanliness of the display itself? And we can set this as an integer, maybe like a rating from 1 star to 5 stars. So we'll say that's an integer there. And so we can go on and have this as a longer survey here, but we'll stop there. I've got my survey table. I want to relate it to, obviously, products, maybe customers as well, so I can choose that. So I'm going to the relationship dialog over here, and you can see that between survey, I can choose there's a relationship between survey and product. And there's a bunch of things that I can set on that relationship. What's the multiplicity relationship? What happens if I delete one? And what happens to the related tables and so forth? The pretty cool thing here is they're actually across data sources here in what we call virtual relationships. They're able to just pull in and do very simple data mashup or data lookup scenarios, even across databases, data feeds, and so forth. Very easy to do. Because it is actually going across data feeds, or boundaries, it's bringing in a foreign key as well. So I'm going to, basically this is describing a survey must have a product. A product can have many survey instances. Sounds about right. So we'll go ahead with that. And we're just going to place product up here. And that foreign key, I'm not going to display it by default. And again, very similar. I'm going to go in, survey, choose customers. Same thing, survey must have a customer. A customer can have many survey instances. Sounds about right as well. And then this foreign key again, I don't want to display it by default. Okay, so I've got a very quick survey that I want my salespeople to fill out, define a table, define some relationships. I want to get this on some UI again. So go back and add some screens. I'm going to go over here, add a screen. Funnily enough, there's a template for that, for being able to add and edit details. So I'm going to choose a survey table here. And hit OK. So this is going to be my screen where the salespeople can very quickly fill out that survey. And then I want to be able to have a button that kind of launches that and for the user to basically create new screens. So I'm going to go back to my home screen over here. Now, products and surveys are related, so I'm going to choose to bring in related surveys here. And then in my dialog, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to add a button, new button over here. This time I'm going to show survey details. Now, survey details accepts a parameter. I'm going to say, well, I'm actually creating a new survey here. Hit OK. picture. Didn't want to do that because I actually show not only is there like navigation properties, but there's also the ability of I've got surveys in these related surveys in my app, so I can actually perform some actions on them. So in this case, I actually want to just do an edit new survey. It's already chosen again my survey screen for doing that by default. Hit OK. And let's just run the app, see what we get. List of products come up. You can go ahead and pop up a product. I've got my button over here to be able to add surveys. Tapping that is going to take me over to the new survey. And you can see that I've already got the product pre-selected, probably what I expected. Lookup table coming from that other data feed. Choosing something here. And very quick, efficient experience of just being able to enter in some data over here and submit it. Maybe going over here for another product. You can kind of see that there's already actually built-in validation. Remember, some of the fields that I set for my table were required fields, and I just kind of set that. In the designer. I can also run my own validation logic here as well. So there's a lot of things that I'm actually able to do here without having to write code, but you can write quite a bit of code in Lightswitch apps. The whole idea here is I can go ahead and start customizing this. But the idea here is forgetting kind of these, attaching to data sources, CRUD kind of experiences and so forth. That's all the plumbing code that we don't like to write. What I want to spend my time on is actually what makes my app unique. That's usually the business logic. It might be a very particular, specific piece of UI or controls that I want to spend more time on. And we've got that. So what I've kind of showed so far is a lot of tweaking in the UI, a lot of client-side kind of things, operations. One of the really neat things about Lightswitch, especially in Visual Studio 2012, and I really want to underscore this point here, is when you're building out this app and you're building data, you're building screens, you get a full app. You get a client, you get a server, and you get a kind of complete app experience there. What we did for Visual Studio 2012, though, is really just open up those components. So if I'm more interested in maybe the server capabilities, just the fact that it's has some querying, maybe I can put my own logic, authentication, access logic to accessing certain tables and so forth. Maybe I'm interested in the client, maybe I'm not. Maybe I actually want to have multiple clients, different client experiences being able to connect into the server. You can do that. So this notion of what I've actually been doing is not only is this have a client on top of that, but if I would just go ahead and open up a new window here, and then I've just stripped away, just going back to the base URL of the running app here, and enter applicationdata.svc. You can see that that's my there's already a fee that's already built up that is it's already part of my app. So if I'm building like a native application, it could be a native app that runs on Windows tablet or iOS or anything else. As long as I can train that client to be able to speak over OData, basically bring in XML and send XML, I've got the ability to kind of just tap into all that business logic that is in that central place. This could actually be just living in the cloud as well, in the way that I've chosen to deploy it, or perhaps on just local IIS. Just kind of get a notion of anyone who's not familiar with OData. It's a very kind of REST-based kind of URL approach to being able to get into data over here. So I'm right at the start page over here, and it's got surveys. But if I go whack surveys, and it gives me all the surveys that I've entered so far, if I want the survey with ID of 1, it brings it in and so forth. So just kind of that notion over here. So what is the kind of code that you can actually write on the server side that you want to have maybe centralized and have the ability to have other clients, multiple kinds of clients, being able to go through authentication, go through any access logic that you want, maybe customize a save pipeline. So maybe each time that I go ahead and update or insert a new survey, maybe I want to go ahead and do some other things in the system. Kick off an email, maybe update some other records, and so forth. So let's just see how to do that. So back in Visual Studio, I'm going to open up that surveys table. And one of the, just a kind of a tip of, you know, when you're wondering what kind of code you can write in these apps, in the designers, there's usually a write code menu right on the top left. It has a drop down. If you just bring that down, you can see there's a lot of entry points here. Of, you know, I can go ahead, basically kind of think of it like certain events that are happening in the system, and I can kind of plug in my own custom logic at that point. So when the survey is deleted, or, you know, deleting just about before it's about to be deleted, just after it was inserted, validation and so forth. Access control methods. So can I even access, can I even perform a delete operation on this survey? Can I read it? Can I insert it? And so forth. Being able to get to things, well, what happens if my save operation actually fails? What kind of logic do I want to run if that happens? So kind of all these kinds of places that are very common in business apps that you just want to override the default behavior, get your custom logic in there, and write that. So for example, let's say that the salesperson's quickly filling out this survey. At any point in time where the display cleanliness is maybe, you know, subpar, maybe we want to just flag that automatically as something that we want to follow up. So I could store that in multiple ways, but just keep it simple here. I can have like a follow-up field. Let's say that's it's a Boolean. And then I can go over here and say whenever a survey is about to be inserted, I can say... where entity here is the survey that is being inserted at that particular time, and we'll wait for Visual Studio to wake up.
If you define an app.
Ooh, we're going so well. The question is, if I have started off with this app, can I easily switch out maybe, you know, kind of like the client, and in your particular example was, you know, can I choose WPF, for example? So there's two built-in client technologies, if you will, that is supported in Lightswitch, and being able to build screens and so forth. That's what I alluded to before, is you can have, you know, Silverlight-based applications, which can run in the browser or outside of the browser. Or in this case, I'm using an HTML client, which is built on HTML5 JavaScript and running in the browser. If you want to be able to use anything else, you know, like, you know, WPF or any other kind of native application, you would be building out that client yourself, and you would be connecting to, you know, writing logic to be able to connect into the middle tier. So inside Visual Studio, just not inside the Lightswitch designers per se, but you could definitely build that kind of app experience if that's what you chose to do.
I guess what I'm getting at is, what is your metadata underneath? So for example, if you've done it in HTML, let's say you support Silverlight, so you want to, okay, I want to do it in Silverlight. Can you just simply say, Genesis and Silverlight, so you're using the same metadata, which metadata underneath to generate Silverlight, or as you build the app, it's generating different metadata depending on whether it's HTML or Silverlight?
Okay, it's a good question. I'll repeat it for the audience. It's basically asking, well, what is the underlying metadata here? And can I easily switch things out from one client technology or the other? I guess it could be possible that you could do that. We chose not to, and there's a few reasons for that. What I've been showing is a lot of kind of the default kind of experiences that you get. But very often what you're going to want to do, and if I can get to that part of the demo, we're kind of stuck here at the moment, being able to, you're going to very quickly get into actually writing code or XAML or JavaScript or whatever based on that client technology. And so although, yes, there is a lot of metadata that's just being captured at a kind of a model level that we could generate whatever we want, there very likely will be code that you're writing, which is technology specific. And so in that case, you know, just simply swatching, going from one to the other, just really wouldn't be ideal at all. But a good question. All right, let's see if I can recover here. Come on, don't let me kill you. What is it with demo gremlins? Always works, but except for when a lot of people are watching. Not good. All right, let's see what state it left me in. Go out to surveys. It was, what did we do? Let me put in that follow-up field again. Phew, okay. So we're gonna set follow-up is false by default. However, if entity.displayCleanliness is, let's say it's, you know, kind of borderline, right? Less than or equal to 3, then any follow-up equals, you know, true. We're going to flag that as something that we want to follow up later on. Why was the display, you know, not clean? Maybe that's not a best practice of the way we want our products to actually be, you know, shown in the store. Let me just stay here for a bit and kind of just show you a little bit of kind of the surface area of the API that you have to play around with. So if I do entity dot, you can kind of see that I've got you know, a lot of those fields that I had already defined. If I go into this details section over here, there's a lot of information or metadata about that particular record that I can get into. So, you know, I can go and discard changes on that for some reason if I've hit some sort of condition. If I want to go ahead and say that, you know, what's the state of this this row? Is it actually being added? Is it being deleted? I can, you know, drive a lot of business logic based on you know, information like that. So you've got quite a bit of power that you can kind of just tap into what's going on in the system at that particular time. You can do things like, you know, me.application and get to the user. We haven't spoken about this, but you can go ahead and say, you can configure the, you know, turn on authentication and say, well, this particular user has these sorts of permissions. And I can go ahead and check if this user has this particular permission, then I'm going to have this kind of logic. Otherwise, I'm going to have this other kind of logic. Very, very common kind of scenarios that you can do. And so again, this notion of you can get a lot of stuff done inside the designers, good, great. That's a lot of plumbing code done for you. But then you get to spend a lot of the time of what actually makes your app unique in terms of like the business logic that is in the actual app. So I'm just going to set a breakpoint over here. I'm going to run again. Just kind of see that, that this is running. I'm going to go and add another survey. Not very clean. Go OK, we'll save. And you'll see that we hit that breakpoint. Display cleanliness is actually a 1, so that's going to, you know, fail that check. and we want to tag it for being able to follow up. Okay. So this notion of I can customize my UI, I can go ahead and actually add business logic in my server piece, and that offers a central way to be able to have many client types, or even the built-in clients here, to just be able to access and run inside those business workflows. One of the other things that maybe I want to cover in the remaining time is this notion of, well, the can I theme my app? A lot of these, if I'm running this inside a company, I probably want to use a corporate logo, kind of corporate colors and so forth. What is that experience? And I kind of want to use this as an example, really, to be able to show that what is being generated here really is just boilerplate HTML5 JavaScript code. The fact that we're optimizing this particular client for touch-oriented apps is we're actually building off of jQuery Mobile, jQuery, for any folks who are familiar with that. And so the kinds of things that you can do with those libraries, the kinds of code that you can write in JavaScript inside the browser, are the kinds of things that you can do over here. And that's manipulating the DOM, adding your own custom control. jQuery Mobile has this notion of themes and definitions of themes. So I've got this dark theme over here. Let me just get out and maybe customize this a bit. So I'll go back over to Solution Explorer. And what we've been seeing so far are kind of like a logical view, right? Like entities and screens. But I can just peer kind of behind that into a file view. And you can kind of see that there's just two projects. There's a client project, a server project. The client project is just a vanilla JavaScript project here. And if I open up my default HTM, you can see that I've got a bunch of links to CSS and so forth. And then one of the things over here is it's actually linking over to darktheme.css. Now, darktheme.css is inside my content folder here. I also have just a built-in light theme, which we've replaced in there, and a bunch of other files as well in terms of like just built-in images that are there for going back, for your save icon. You can totally customize that. It's just part of your app that you can get to. So let's just for kicks, let's use the light theme over here. And that's going to change a lot of things for me. There is this user customization file over here, which if I go over to that, you can kind of see that that actually has a lot of, UI elements that are very specific to this app, right? And they're not very, they're not specific to the notion of a jQuery mobile theme. For example, what's my background image? And what's my splash screen for this particular app and so forth? So what I'm going to do, just very quickly, you can kind of just see this in real time. There's a bunch of comments over here that if I am switching over to the light theme, I can choose to go ahead and swap in maybe some dark icons and not what we had of white icons here. So I'm going to go over here, change this to light very quickly over here. Just a few places. I'm going to use black icons. See over down here, it's asked me to just change a color. Kind of what you're seeing over here is just standard CSS classes that you get to, that is already part of the template. You can get to modify, you can add your own. And that was it. That was just a few places over here. So let me hit F5 again. You can see a light theme just shows up over here. Now, what I really want to also show is the fact that this is just standards-based stuff. So there's a bunch of things that is in your project, yes, but can you use things like jQuery Mobile, their theme roller, for example, or just being able to, if anyone's familiar with that, it's kind of a browser-based editing tool for being able to define, modify jQuery Mobile themes, and then could I import that into my application? The answer is a resounding yes. You can actually do that. So let me just show how that works. So I'm just going to pull up a new browser window over here. Bring up the jQuery mobile theme roller tool. And you can kind of see it's very kind of a visual way of just describing themes over here. So what I'm going to do is, rather than just start with a theme from scratch, I'm going to go over here, bring up that light theme, and it's already jQuery mobile theme roller compliant. So I'm just going to copy that and go back into jQuery mobile theme roller tool. I'm going to choose to import, change my version target here. I'm going to just paste that in, and I'm just going to import that. So now it's going to take in what my light theme looks like over here, and then just very quickly, I'm just going to maybe just drag some other items over here, maybe do maybe a light kind of green kind of theme over here. I'm not going to spend much time on this. Basically, once I finish my editing, I can go ahead and modify a lot of swatches and so forth, shadows and rounded corners and so forth. Once I've done that, I can go ahead and actually download that theme. So I'm going to call this my green theme. Download the theme from Theme Roller. It's going to save it here. That comes down in the zip file. And then back in my project, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bring in that content. That's my green theme. They also provide a minified version of that. I'm going to bring that in over here. And then in my default HTML, instead of my light theme, I'm going to just use my green theme, hit F5. Kind of see that's already starting off with my green theme. So really just, that's pretty neat in terms of you know, being able to use an outside tool and just bring that in and just kind of party on that. But really also just to underscore that we've really embraced standards with this product. The kinds of code that you find out over there, it's, a lot of JavaScript client-side coding really is kind of going out there and grabbing snippets and bringing it in into your app, and you can definitely do that. Now, we have a little bit more time, and so maybe just to kind of drive that message home a bit, I'm going to use, start bringing in some custom controls into my app. That's another very common question that I get is, UI that you get, it's okay for some screens, but I really want to be able to go ahead and customize the UI there and take over portions of it. So let's just run the app again. Let's see where we would want to customize that. So maybe going into over here, going into a survey. And all of these are okay in terms of dropdowns, but this is like display cleanliness, it's just an integer. Maybe I would want a rating kind of a way of visualizing that, and also just tapping my rating here, and again kind of just constraining the input to really avoid a lot of kind of typos and stuff, which if you're kind of holding that on a mobile device, it's very common to do that. So way I'm going to do that is hop back into the screen. And this is my field over here inside my screen for displaying the cleanliness rating. It's currently set to a text box. There's a bunch of other things that I can set it to. But I can choose to say, I'm going to take over this one. I'm going to take over the whole div or the whole HTML of this, and I can put whatever I want. So I'm going to go ahead and put in a custom control. Remember that write code dropdown over here? If I select that, there's this notion of the field_render method. And if I select this, basically, I can write JavaScript code here and just be able to manipulate the DOM, add whatever HTML I want to be able to render that rating. So just going out across the web, I came across a library of a lot of useful kind of HTML5 widgets. Folks may already be familiar with Widgmo. This particular control is for entering ratings. It seems like that's what I want to do. Over here, you kind of got a lot of code over here. It just gives a lot of examples of what you can do. So there's a bunch of script references that I would need to add. There's just some sample code of that kind of makes up, well, you know, how do I even get started? Well, I kind of need to set up a div with already an ID inside it, and then I can start manipulating that div with this control. So I'm just going to grab that, go over to over here, I'm going to paste that here. And so the way that I'll do that in JavaScript would be, this is going to be my rating control. And then what I'm going to do is, you can see one of the functions that's available to me is the element, and also the content item. The content item allows me to get to any of the data that is bound to that control. And the element is the basically the DOM element, and I can go ahead and manipulate that. So I'm going to say something like element, append my new rating control. All right, now I'm set. Going back over to this web page over here, basically got a lot of kind of useful code of things that I can set. I can set icons, I can set kind of animation and so forth. One of the things that I'm looking down over here is one of the events, and it's got a rated event. Basically, what code do I want to run when the user kind of just taps that control? So I'm going to grab this. Paste it in. I'm going to match up my selector here. And then inside this function, that's set out, I can say something like, when you've clicked that control, my content item, its value is whatever was passed into this built-in control over here. There's probably something else that I want to set here, which is content item. There's another tag that I can set as part of this control, which is what is the value initially, and I can say, well, that's my content item value. Just standard JavaScript code, like so. There was a bunch of links and so forth, script references that I needed to add, so I'm just going to bring that in. Again, I do that in my default. And I already have a jQuery reference here, so I'm going to pull that out. And maybe for anyone who's done CSS development, you know that the order in which you place your CSS references matter a lot. So let's see if hopefully I've been able to get all the parts running. But basically what you saw me is just go over to a web page, grab some sample code, bring that into my project, take over the custom control, and hopefully you can kind of see that that's actually running there, and that will enable me to save and so forth. So another, just a quick example to be able to say that we've embraced standards, JavaScript, a whole bunch of libraries, a whole bunch of samples, a whole bunch of controls that are out there. You can just bring that into your apps. So just kind of, we're short on time, just kind of wrap up here. What we've seen is, I think I've got a slide for it. What we've seen is Lightswitch really just provides a way to really significantly reduce your plumbing code. It does allow you to focus on what makes your application unique. It can grow up with your app requirements. So if you're at the point where you want to take over certain aspects of the app, you can just go right in there and actually customize the app. What I put out over here is a bunch of resources. What I showed mainly today is an HTML client preview, which we currently have. We had preview one, which is already out. If you go on to msdn.com/whack-light-switch, you'll be able to get it. We are readying a preview two that's going to be coming out soon. So just watch out for an announcement on that on our blog. Been a great audience. Thank you very much. And I'll take any questions perhaps after this session.